Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the future.
Blue, three, hey, come here.
Find me a nice soft place to land.
I got you, hey.
I'm so high. Today, which means you more time than late.
So even if I slow it down, my sound is fast forward. Hold up, I'm just a runway show, but I wear this on my plane, even runway clothes. Cashmere sweats, they come out next year, but these my last year sweats. And my hoe's so sick, your new chick can't fuck with my old bitch. And you know this shit, I'm professional, they know this is. I just may let you borrow this. This the blueprint, nigga, follow this. This what tomorrow is. Welcome to tomorrow, bitch.
Whatever you about to discover, we all bet. You about to tell her you love her, we all bet. Always wanna fight in a club, we all bet. But you can't bring the future back, back. Y'all are steady chasing the fame, and we all bet. Overtime slow for change, we all bet. Niggas still making it rain, and we all bet. But you can't bring the future back.
Tell them niggas get off me. Chris, we all bet. Tim's, we all bet. Friends, we all bet. Yeah, we all bet. Is you still on that? And we still making money, cause we still on that. Say black versus white, my nigga, we all bet. Please tell Bill O'Reilly to fall back. Tell Rush Limbaugh to get off my balls. In 2010, I ate 1864. Yeah, we come so far. So I drive around town, hard top in the saw. And my Tribeca love with my high brow. And my high yellow bra. And my dark skin sis. And my best white mate. Say what's up to Chris. How's that for a mix? Got a black president. Got green president. Blueprints in my white iPod. Black diamonds in my Jesus piece. My God. Trippin' off that, it's a Benetton ad, nigga been up off that.
Whatever you about to discover, we all bet. You about to tell her you love her, we all bet. Always wanna fight in a club, and we all bet. But you can't bring the future back, back. Y'all are steady chasing the fame, and we all bet. Overtime slow for change, we all bet. Niggas still making it rain, and we all bet. But you can't bring the future back.
Tell them niggas get off me. Chris, we all bet. Tim's, we all bet. Friends, we all bet. Yeah, we all bet. And you still on that. And you still making money, cause you still on that. I don't give a fit up, a bit out the way that you used to move, what you used to do. And I don't give a fit up, a bit out the bitches that you used to screw, what your future do. And we don't really care what you used to say, unless that affects your future pay. I'm on the practice field running 2 a day, so I don't drop the ball when it's through my way. So I don't give a fit up, a bit out the shit that you probably did, who you probably is. The only time I deal in past tense, cause I'm past friends and I'm past tense. If you driving it, I drove it. You got it, cause I sold it. You copped it, I bought it back. And we don't give a fit up, nigga, we off that.
Whatever you about to discover, we all bet. You about to tell her you love her, we all bet. Always wanna fight in a club, and we all bet. But you can't bring the future back. Y'all are steady chasing the fame, and we all bet. Overtime slow for change, we all bet. Niggas still making it rain, and we all bet. Cause you can't bring the future back.
Tell them niggas get off me. Chris, we all bet. Tim's, we all bet. Friends, we all bet. Yeah, we all bet. Is you still on that? And we still making money, cause we still on that.
What up, what up, what up? Welcome to another edition of Detroit Sports Rap. This is Big C, along with my co-host, L Diggity Dog. What's going on, L Boogie?
What's up, bro? How you feeling?
I'm feeling excellent, man. I'm feeling excellent. I know you're on cloud nine as well. The Spartans have found their way to the Final Four. I'm going to give it up, clap my hands. Standing ovation to Mr. Izzo. I didn't see it coming. I thought you did a good job, but I didn't think you did it this good. To the Final Four again. He's doing his thing, keeping his team relevant. Will he get a second national championship? Or will he continue to be the Buffalo Bills out here? I don't know. But with that said, I'm gonna give one to him. We'll give it up to Mr. Izzo and the Spartans. Spartans at my job are really, really happy today. So there it is. I got it out of the way. What's going on, El? We got a lot to talk about today, man. NBA is winding on down. You know, our Pistons have a game tonight against the NBA East leading Atlanta Hawks. Their playoff hopes have been dashed a long time ago. Got dashed pretty much in the midst of that 10-game losing streak shortly after the All-Star break. Mm-hmm. We'll talk some NFL news. We're going to talk about a little bit about the running back position in the draft. I know that's my alley. Yeah, yeah. We want to get you early. You know what I mean? And talk about that. We're gonna talk about we're gonna try to mock the first 10 picks of the draft today. We're in that kind of gray area. We got the draft coming up May 2nd. We got pro days coming up everywhere, popping up everywhere. Mr. Winston had his today at Florida State. You know, guys are positioning themselves, you know, for the NFL draft, and that's going to affect a lot of things, real-time football, teams improvement, also has some fantasy aspects in there as well, and we're going to keep you abreast of all that needed information to make you a valid and, a championship-caliber player in your fantasy leagues to come, and maybe in your betting leagues as well. We're going to give you the information that you need. But enough said, you know, we're going to get right into it, man. We're going to get right into it. Let's talk briefly about the Tigers, man. They took a thumping today in their tune-up for opening day.
Scooping. Thumping. They got an ass. It's a lynching they just got today. There wasn't no thumping. You know what I'm saying? My man gave up, what, seven runs? Oh, damn. Is that what y'all look forward to?
I don't know, man.
I ain't seeing it right now.
You know, it's a tune-up, and, you know, there definitely needs some fine-tuning. But overall, I'm not going to waver yet. I'm not going to go into distress. I think that the team is built right now to definitely contend. It's going to be key that they get enough pitching from the starting rotation as well as the back end on the bullpen to keep them in the game. And I keep them in the game and be able to protect the league. That's going to be key for them, man. I like the lineup, though. I like, you know, what we've added in terms of speed on the base pass, if we can get these guys to hit. I like Cespedes being a guy who can give us some power a little bit later in the lineup. He's batting up from six right now. And I like the fielding. You know, we had Iglesias to help us on the defensive side. We had Cespedes, who's going to help us defensively. We had Ghost in center field, who can cover a lot of ground. We got Rodney Davis. So we're going to be a solid fielding team. I like our chances, man. I think we have as good a chance as any years past. You know, we like to have the big-name guys with the big arms, definitely. But let's see how this works. You tried that before. You tried that. That didn't work for us. Let's see how this new age of baseball for the Detroit Tigers works. I like what I see. I'm not totally sold on it, but I think we can contend.
Now, here's the problem. I feel you. Matter of fact, a couple of weeks ago, I'm like, I feel you 100%. Go back a couple of weeks ago for that, but that means about 2 or 3 months ago, I'm like, hell yeah, we can contend. We could do our damn thing. Right now, we ain't doing shit. I ain't going to hold you up, bro. You know what I'm saying? Here's the problem I got right now. You have Verlander, who might open up. He might miss his first start. Okay, he's missing. He has something they call injuries to his tricep muscle. You know what I'm saying? The right tricep muscle, which is having to be a throwing arm. Okay. Now, it could be some tight tension. Everybody just want to take it, you know, easy and let him slide. But the problem is, Verlander is also coming off of a core injury. You know what I'm saying? He's getting to that point where I tell you that decline's starting to step in. We're still thinking that I'm hoping that he's going to bounce back. He's going to be better than what he was last year. But last year, he wasn't nothing. You know what I'm saying? He was the third best pitcher on our team last year. Maybe fourth, to be honest with you. So we're putting a lot of stock into him to come back and be something nice. He's out. The rest of our pitching staff, I don't know. I mean, honestly, we got faster in position.
We did everything we need to do to get the position better, but we still don't have a bona fide closer. We don't have a bona fide setup man right now. Like, Nathan ain't nothing. The other guy might not start. You got people that's going to be coming back and forth and not the Myers. We got a problem. We got a serious problem that, you know, we as fans are spoiled and be like, no, we bounce back, we bounce back. But I'm looking at this starting off kind of like not looking good at all as I start. And we're getting slaughtered right now. And I know they're not playing the whole game, but they're getting lit up through the first five innings. You know what I'm saying? For six, seven hits, six home runs, six runs. You know, it ain't looking good.
He definitely got rocked today, but I think that Sanchez is going to be okay. I'm hoping that Verlander gives us quality outings. I'm hoping that Price is an above average to very good pitcher. And I'm telling you, these two guys, Shane Green and Alfredo Simon, it's going to come out of them and how consistent they become. They have good stuff, but they're still developing. They're still learning. They're still trying to put it all together. They have experience, but they still have enough youth on their side that they can make an impact with the quality of pitches that they have. So it's going to be upon Brad Ausmus and the coaching staff to really, really, really coach these guys up and get the best out of their ability. Because I see what I see what they're trying to do, but can these guys be consistent? I mean, these guys look like they have stuff that's equivalent to a Drew Smiley, a young Drew Smiley, and equivalent to a young Purcello. You know, a guy who, you know, when he was a little less polished, I would say, but still had good stuff. And can they develop them and bring that out of them? That's going to be the key. But, you know, before we get down on them, man, let them play 25 games because we know how it goes with these guys. They can jump out on you or they can start off slow. They can be right in it or they can come into the, you know, get into it at the end of the season. So let's give them 25 games before we, you know, get down on them. You know, it's still early. We still got opening day coming up next week. A couple key roster situations.
For the first time ever, I'm not looking forward to it because I'm serious. They don't look like, you know, saying the teams are past. Like I said, we spoiled as fans. We spoiled as, you know, saying as in being involved in the organization when the Tigers has been good, Red Wings been good, and, you know, Lions is okay of lately. But we spoiled as fans. So I'm kind of worried about. I'm really worried about this open day because they don't come out and control and dominate. And I'm talking about a low scoring game, like holding the team that they're playing against to a low score and just putting up some points. I think that's the indicator. I think we're going to try to have a shootout every game. I don't think we're going to play that hell of a defense like we did last year, you know. But I'm hoping that we can, at least we don't have any errors. I'm hoping that we can cover the ballpark because we got a lot of speed out there now and in left, right, and center field. So if hopefully we can do that, we'll be okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for as well. Let's keep it moving, man. Let's talk a little bit about the NBA. I said the season is kind of winding down. Our Pistons, man, it's 28-45. They had the dreaded 10-game loss after the trade for Reggie Jackson after the All-Star break that pretty much took them from being right there on the cusp of the playoffs to totally out of it. They're like six games out right now. Nine games to play. No chance to make it. 28-45, I said before the season, I thought they were going to win 30 to 35 games and missed the playoffs. Unfortunately, I'm going to be probably close to being closer to right than wrong. Ping-pong balls abound for us. But what are the possibilities for this team if they sign Reggie Jackson and Greg Monroe? If they sign, oh, my goodness, Reggie Jackson and or Greg Monroe, I'm sorry, or Greg Monroe, they only sign one. And if they don't sign both of them, where does this franchise stand, man?
Well, here's the problem. If they don't sign both of them, they're screwed. Or one of them, they're screwed. Pistons has always been shopping for a point guard for Joe Dumars. I think Joe Dumars was drafted and picked up and made point, moves for a point guard. Even when we had Johnson, we still picked up the two little pit bulls. You know what I'm saying? The other two guys that came off the bench. You know what I'm saying? We're a point guard-driven team. If we don't sign one of these two talents, we got a problem. I mean, that's the only way we can look at it. I mean, it's like, you know, we have to make sure we lock down that position. That position of need is a position of need. We need both of them, to be honest with you. We need to restructure some contracts, do what we got to do, and get them both here. So that way we can build and get that, you know, that power forward that we said we need, or that, you know, that three that, you know, that can,
you know, that can come off, you know, that can play like a 2-3 position, that can light it up. You know what I'm saying? We need all that. And we need depth. The Pistons just have the same problem as the Lions. They need depth. Once somebody get hurt, they screw. We got to make a trade and get rid of some, you know what I'm saying, something. You know, we got to make drastic deals. If we don't, if we have that depth, we ain't got to worry about that. But that's the problem we got. You know what I'm saying? If, you know, if we, and every time you look up, somebody get hurt for us, we got to make 2 or 3 trades, get rid of some talent that really puts us back 2 years, then when it goes, and if we just had the depth, it would be straight. That's the problem we have, man.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. If they sign both of them, I look at them as a team that, I mean, it depends on what dollars, you know, that they both want. I already been on record that Jackson is playing improved. I'm still not giving them $12, $13 million a year. Right now, you're looking more like 8 or 9, you know what I'm saying, a little bit more possibly than Jennings, but with the possibility that you probably want to trade Jennings and possibly get somebody who can help you. Or some cap relief because you don't want to pay so much to a point guard position as a whole in a team. You get Monroe, but the thing with him is he's going to get the man a nice bit of change. A big man with his skills is highly regarded. And does he want to stay? Been talks about the D.C. area where he played college basketball at. Him connected there with a young team with John Wall and Bradley Beal over there. Also with Paul Pierce, team that's already contending in the East in the playoffs. He could be a missing piece for them that possibly could put them into that upper echelon. Other teams may come calling. So it's a possibility that we may lose him. Now, if we lose him and sign Jackson, I don't think it's over, but, you know, we still got to find a big somewhere. We got a lot of money that will be available to us under the cap. Also, Kawhi Leonard, I believe, is a free agent from San Antonio, so he might be somebody that we can go after and add him as a 2 or 3. He's an all-around player, defender, shooter, scorer. He can do it all. I don't know if he'll be ready to leave San Antonio or not. Who knows? But maybe, why not take a run at him? If we don't sign both of them, I think we're back to expansion status, trying to get a player in the draft as well as 1 or 2 players in free agency to kind of, you know, kind of stockpile the talent again. I hope that he doesn't let both of them walk out. I would like to get both of them back. I don't know if it's really, you know, what's the possibility of getting the both of those guys back, but at least one of them.
Let me tell you this. We did this deal to get Jackson here. We did this deal to get Jackson here. There was no way, you know what I'm saying, we got him here. So my thing is now, his contract is up. Now the thing is, you want to sign him. That's what it was. The thing was to get this man here, like I said, he has all the intangibles that you want as a point guard. Long, lanky, can pass, can score. He just has to be more consistent. And now you said it yourself, he's young. So once he gets that consistency down, which I think what Coach Stan Van Gundy can do to him, can get him right. You know what I'm saying? Now, you said it yourself. If we can hold on to both talents, that'd be excellent. But my man that's hurt right now, I believe he's on the bubble. Because say if we would sign him, and he comes back, we let Jackson go, and he has a hang-up, a hiccup with that Achilles tendon, now we screwed. You see what I'm saying? Now we at square one again, trying to make a deal to give him something else to get another Jackson-type player back. My thing is, you hold on to this guy Jackson now, sign him, do what you got to do, and then, you know, you offer my man a little something less and let him prove a 1-year deal or something like that, or a 2-year deal, guaranteed. This week, you know, if he comes back and he's 100% good. Then you work with him for 2 years, then we can get somebody younger to fill that role.
He has
a deal. That's how you played it.
He has a deal. You just act like everybody's on a 1-year deal and you're just going to make a deal. He has a contract.
I'm not saying that.
Already.
Okay, what is his contract?
He paid $9 million. He has a 4-year deal, which is all the real deals are guaranteed. 4-year deal for like $29 million, $30 million. We get like $7
okay,
million.
Okay, so if
he's
a 4-year, $20 million deal. Okay, now what if he comes back and he has the same effect like Jalen Rose? You know what I'm saying? He gets hurt again. Achilles tendon pops again.
What do you
mean?
We're talking about a contract that's guaranteed.
Okay, I understand what you're saying. My thing is the depth on the team. This
you
is
what
I'm talking about.
What
the team needs.
You got it? You can't talk team need and then talk money and then say, well, this is going to do this. It's all one big thing.
Okay.
That's
well, like I said, you sign this guy right here. Jackson is a deal that's expiring, right? You sign him, You know what I'm saying? My thing is you can't give up this talent right now. We need to, as a Pistons fan that wants to see the Pistons come back and be productive and be worth a damn again, you know what I'm saying? You need this talent right here. Because he's exciting. He's an excellent player that you can build around. We finally building something, and now everybody wants to break it down and get rid of it. That's the problem with us. We always don't give them something. We want to try to deal this list, and it doesn't work. Every time we do it, it always backfires in our face. I'm tired of it. Sign this guy, and let's go.
Sign him and let's go. Let's just fall with him. I feel you. I'm still nice.
We make the playoffs next year. I guarantee you then we make the playoffs. Like, hey, cool. And then we build from there.
I don't know about that, man. I'm looking at the OKC boys and how they're playing without Durant, with those guys we sent over there. Playing huge roles over there for them. How this team is winning.
Yeah.
They're in the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, what
do
you
mean? We never said anything about ability with them. It was always the other stuff. Does he truly have the intangibles to lead the team?
Yeah, I'm right here. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm like, does he truly have the intangibles to lead the team? He came over here and promptly lost 10 straight. They won 2 or 3 games with him, no doubt about it. But then lost 10 straight, got in the funk they couldn't get out of. It wasn't just him. In the key moment of the season. And I'm not going to lie to you. I look at him and he has definitely some ability. Does he have probably more upside as a basketball player than Brandon Jennings, possibly bigger, pretty explosive, not as quick as Brandon. I don't think he's as pure a shooter as Brandon, but because he is a bigger, stronger guy, he can go to the hole, he can finish a little better than Brandon. But we look at the point guard position, I think his passing and his ability to run the team, to really, really run it, I think may fall behind Brandon. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
I know he's a solid defender. He's going to go give you some rebounds. You know, he's gotten a couple triple-doubles here. He's a baller. But is he a point guard? Is he a true point guard? And can he be a leader? Or is he just a good baller? Well, if you put him on a team with a good point guard and a good leader, he's a good player.
Right.
That's the question. You know what I'm saying? That's the question. Because there's no doubt whether, you know, I know you say people want to play and all that good stuff. And I understand. I believe in time when it came. But you can't tell me that him being in the playoff race, playing against the likes of Westbrook and Durant every day, seeing them work, working with them, is not taking your game to a higher level than playing with the Pistons. Even though you're playing 25, 30 minutes a game. I just, you know, I don't see that. That was the first red flag. I know you want to play, but you only really have one more year. You got a chance to win a championship. You got a way to, you want to play? For a team that's possibly going nowhere? Okay, they can make the playoffs.
Yeah,
you say, okay, you know, or maybe I can help them make the playoffs. Cool. Come over here, win a couple games, and you promptly win 10 straight. Lose 10 straight.
Right, but here's the thing. Here's the thing. What you're saying is that it makes a lot of sense. But at one point when, you know, that's why you got to get this guy while he's young right now. He's young. You know what I'm saying? He's hungry. And you want them young, hungry players that want to prove themselves. You know what I'm saying? So that's why you got to lock him up now. So like I said, we got somebody that's young, hungry, and is proving himself right now. And the thing is, you want to lock that type of talent up because you don't want to go over there. Like, hey, look, I can come off the bench and do this for you. No. Come here, do the thing, and we build around you. See, everybody wants to get there quick here and there, quick here and there, quick here and I'm out. Sometimes, you know, you got to put in some time and effort to be a great player, to be, you know, saying legendary status, to be, you know, something on a higher level. And that's what you got here at the Pistons. Now, who knows? After this year, maybe they'll be to the point that this will be a premier team that everybody want to come and play because they start just, you know, putting up points. I mean, putting up wins. You know what I'm saying? But the thing is, it has to start somewhere, Carl. It has to start somewhere.
Let's talk about this. Let's talk about the real teams that are contending. The playoffs are about to start. We're sitting 9 games left. We talked about the NBA offseason. We talked about contenders in the East, teams that we like, et cetera, et cetera. Tell me about, man, 2 or 3 of your favorites in the East, man, to bring the title home. So not just to win the East, but who could possibly bring the title home.
Well, even though I hate your team, you know what I'm saying, I'm going to go with your boy, LeBron James. You know what I'm saying? He has a chance. You know they're going to do the foul and stuff for him. Then I'm going to go with my team, Atlanta. These Hawks, you know what I'm saying? You hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. Those two teams.
I
mean, okay, Golden State is in the West, correct?
In the West, yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's my West team. So right now I'm looking at these two teams right here, man. Like I said, hey, LeBron, with a passion. I can hold you up. Everybody knows that. But I like Atlanta. What they're doing right now, I think they have a chance. I mean, I know you're going to say the Bulls, but there's something to bother them, man. I can't trust them when they hit the playoffs without their starting guy back. So there you go. What you got?
You know I'm going with the Bulls. You know I'm going with the Bulls, baby. LeBron,
you're
going to
stay with the Bulls no matter what.
Well, you feel that way, I know. And it kind of seems that way. But looking at it, my boy is back in practice playing. And Chicago has put together a team at this point. This is different from years past. Years past, it was pretty much him as the catalyst with Noah and a couple cats, you know what I'm saying, playing a supporting role. Maybe Ding or some Heinrich or playing a supporting role. This team, Jimmy Butler has stepped up to now a starring role, even when Rose was playing. Jackson was being an excellent understudy at the two-guard position, giving him a lot of offense and a lot of defense. He can score the rock. This offense, this guy they got from across seas, Miritich, playing the three position. He's 6'10", 6'11". He can shoot the ball. I mean, he's a poor man's Kevin Durant. Not quite as accurate, not quite as explosive, but he can really, really play the game of basketball. Reminds me of a bigger version of Tony Kukoc with more athleticism. Can shoot the basketball, can pass it, can defend the three and the four position at times. So he makes them dangerous. Then you add Taj Gibson. You add Noah in the mix. Some of the other guys they added Paul Gasol this year. So they have the bigs to bang you guys and give guys offensive fits down low. And they have enough players who have firepower on the outside who can create scoring opportunities for other people besides Rose. I think the team is going to be dangerous with or without Rose. With a healthy Rose or Rose that's 85%, 80% of what he has been, this team can contend for a championship. Without him, they still going to be.
I want to see what he looks like when he gets back from injury first. Before I give him any type of anointment and everything else, I got to see what he looks like with Rose back. Because you know what I'm saying? That happened last year. They was looking straight without Rose, remember? And then when Rose came, the chemistry kind of wasn't just like the way it was. You know what I'm saying? It was trying to force him into the mix too much. And it kind of gave him a bigger setback. That's what my man Rose right now, that's playing the point guard, I mean, a two-guard, like, Rose position, is doing such a damn good job. Because, you know what I'm saying, he has a better chemistry with him because he's been playing there, I mean, honestly, longer than Rose has the last couple of years. So, you know, before I say, you know, and start giving him any type of more extra props or anything like that, I want to make sure that I want to see what he looks like when he comes up.
Aaron Brooks was a starter in this league for a long time. Who's starting out at the point guard spot for the Bulls. He's the guy who can score the basketball, distribute it. He can do a lot of different things, man. Chicago's dangerous. I feel like Cleveland as well. Key for them is going to be, can Kevin Love consistently be effective this time of year? He's never played in the playoffs before. The game is going to be extremely physical. You know, he has kind of that frail body. And he can play and be at a consistent level. during the season. I mean, that's going to be the key. You know what I'm saying? Because if he can't, they're in trouble. They're in trouble. I think so. You know, I will say this. I do like the additions of Tim Musgoff or whatever. Guy who gives him a little bit more size on the inside. Also like the addition of Iman Shumpert and J.R. Smith, two guys who can really, really score the basketball, who can take a little bit of the pressure off of the scoring burden off of LeBron. And because Iman Shumpert is a solid defender, he can defend the team's best shooter or scorer a lot more during the game and let LeBron kind of not rest, but, you know, get a little bit of a breather on the defensive side of the ball. All those things can be key. And they got other guys, man. It's not LeBron anymore. They got a nice cast of characters over there who can support them. So, I mean, they're dangerous as well. Atlanta, I'm looking at them right now, man. Losing to the Pistons right now, but, you know, they'll probably come back and win. Atlanta's a good team. I'm not sold on them being the Detroit Pistons of 2004, though. I'm not seeing enough special stuff out here. They'll be a hard out for any team. I think they'll probably make it to the second round of the playoffs, but that's about it, man. That's about it for them, man. I don't know if they really, really a contender out there. Now, let's talk about the West, man, where it really, really gets real grimy. I know you won with San Antonio because they had a chance to get a squad. How you feel about that right now?
I mean, but like I said, all they got to do is get to the playoffs, and then we should talk. You know what I'm saying? That's how I feel with the Spurs. Let them get to the playoffs, then we talk. You know what I'm saying? That's a team that's old and young, excellent head coach. I can't give them too much more praise than that. They have everything that you want. They might be on cruise control, but San Antonio is known to rest people just for the playoffs, you know, to get themselves together. So that could be some scenarios going on right now. But, you know,
the other team
I thought of, say it again?
Go ahead. Tell me your other team. I'm sorry.
Okay, my other team that I got, and I'm saying right now, Golden State Warriors, man. That team came out of nowhere. That team is a beast of a team. They have everything. You look up and down what you want on a championship quality team, that's it. You know what I'm saying? They can shoot, kill you from the outside, kill you from the post, rebound, run the point. I mean, they can run and gun it. They can slow it down. They can play half-court game. They can do everything. Golden State is a team right now that's showing me that they have the keys to be, you know, I mean, well, they have everything that is to contend and be, you know, a champion this year.
You got any more? He's good right there. Golden State.
I just do two. You just said two.
Okay. I'm going to tell you what. I like Golden State. I think with Klay Thompson Seth Curry. It's a deadly backcourt, man. They can play with anybody. Shoot the basketball, anybody can score with anybody. Draymond Green gives them a nice intermediate type threat, guy who can do different things with the basketball, passing as well as scoring. Solid defender, solid rebounder. They've added some solid, you know, strength and size up front, you know what I mean? So, I mean, they're a dangerous team as well. I like them a lot. Only thing with them is that how they've been there before. No, this is kind of their first, not their first kind of go around, but. They're still kind of young. They're still kind of learning. I'm eager to see how they, you know, react in the playoffs this year. New coach and what's his name? What's the guy that shoot the threes?
Curry.
Curry. And I don't think he's second. First, when he got the job, I was a little upset because I liked the job that Mike Jackson did there. I think he really set the foundation for them to be as mentally as tough as they are. But he brought in a little bit of that coaching acumen that he received from Phil Jackson a little bit, and to put his own little touch to it, a little triangle. And they run a very, very fluid offense that gives many guys opportunities and spreads the floor a little bit and allows those guys to really, really do what they do very, very well. So they're going to be a tough team, a tough out. I still think inexperience makes, you know, catch up with them and a little bit of toughness on the inside. Another team I really, really like is Houston, man. I really like the way that Harden is leading that team. You know, a guy who waited his turn, played with OKC, you know, for a minute,
your boy is
you know, all the years. Yeah, Dwight Howard is back. Hopefully he can give him some defense and some rebounding, and he's very comfortable in the number two.
Because he's been out for so long?
It could be. It could be they're having some good years, but at the same time, he's already said that, you know, he doesn't want to mess anything up until, you know, Harden to keep playing like he's been playing. So if he can find a way to fit in and just do what he needs to do defensively and defensively and on the rebounding tip, that in itself can be, you know, a huge boost to that team. We're talking about a guy who was, you know, a 16, 17 point and 13 rebound type guy. So he can come in and just start giving you double-doubles of 10, 12, and, 12 and 12. Injury for the Pistons. Spencer Dewitt.
Here we go again.
The backup point guard looks like he's down. I don't know what's going on.
So, like I said, the backup point guard is down. So we ain't got no depth. We ought to – see what I'm saying? It can go that quick. Our backup point guard is down. They got a training staff looking up to him right now. If he cannot go, and they say we have a man, we hit. There it is again. Like I said, that depth is so key. And this is an example right here. As we're talking on the air right now, the depth for the Pistons is so key to have two quality point guards.
All right, man. We hear you. Let's keep it moving, though, man. This ain't going nowhere, man. They ain't going nowhere. Let's talk about these. I like the Clippers too, man. I don't know why I like them. I like them. I keep hoping Doc can take them to the next level. They made a couple moves at the playoff. I mean, at the trade deadline to kind of get them better. Kind of dysfunctional from time to time, but I mean, hopefully they can put it all together and we can make a run. Any sleepers in the NBA for you, man? Any teams that could surprise?
Nah, man, because this year this is how I look at it. Honestly, you know that West is so not wide open, but the West is so thick. Champions are the sixth seed, then it goes all the way down. Barely, you know what I'm saying, a couple of barely lost teams, you know, that's hanging around. The East, you got your top four, and that's it. So I don't see nobody sleeping and doing nothing. The heavyweights is going to win. And, you know, you're going to go from there. The only team that could have been asleep was Golden State, you know, but that's before that they excelled. You know what I'm saying? I'm pushing them, as they, like you said before, they have a lot of youth. And with that youth, they're inexperienced, so they're going to be the underdog a lot. Even though they're dominant, they're still going to be an underdog because, you know, they might be ranked number one. They're still going to be underdog. You know what I'm saying? They're still going to be the undercard because they haven't been there. So that's the only thing I can think of as a sleeper type mentality goes.
Well, I'm going to tell you, man, at this point, Kevin Durant didn't get hurt, man. I thought OKC could really do it. I still think they could possibly do it. Right now, they're in the eighth seed, so they would play Golden State in that first round. And the way that Ennis Cantor,
they get pop.
He had like 17 points and 10 rebounds since his since he was traded from Utah over there. And you know, Kevin Durant's absence, he's kind of been the big fella. Giving him another presence over there. PJ Augustin has been solid off the bench, as their backup point guard. Allowed Russell Westbrook to play some at the two as well. They've been getting some quality contributions from other people. Unfortunately, I think Serge Ibaka was out for some time. I think that's going to be a key factor. I think if he was 100%, they could really have a shot at popping Golden State and, you know, making a run over there. Portland, I think, is a team that can make a run. San Antonio, they're the champions. They can do it. Clippers, I think, have enough talent to do it. So, yeah, the West is a whole different ballgame. Anybody, you know, who's out here has a chance to possibly be an NBA champion or one or two pieces away. So it's definitely going to be interesting to watch. Let's keep it moving, man. Let's talk about the Spartans, man. Let's talk about the Final Four in the NCAA tournament, man. Your Spartans, man, pulled out an impressive victory over Louisville, over Rick Pitino, did what they need to do, showed mental toughness, down the stretch, made their free throws, stayed in there, took haymaker after haymaker after haymaker, made big plays, man, and they're in the Final Four. I don't want to rehash the game too much because they got a daunting task with Duke up here, but talk to me about the team, the coaching job that Izzo did this year, and do you see the development of this team, and do they have a chance against Duke?
Okay. First off, I'm gonna do this, Carl. You said that which call was gonna win last week, right? You said Michigan State was gonna lose, right? Last week again, you thought they might not make it, right? Okay, do the same thing today. Do the same thing today, okay?
I'm gonna
get this, make sure you got them losing. Now we got that out the way, out of our system. I'm gonna tell you like this, man. Izzo was somebody I was pissed at early this year. You know what I'm saying? We thought he might have lost his This is me being honest. This is me being sure. I thought he might have lost the edge. I thought he might have lost a lot of things. I think this team, I don't think it's really Izzo doing much. I think the team is taking over, and it's just straight balling. Because the performances that I'm seeing, Izzo is a genius. I'm going to give you that right now. He knows how to change the floor up. He knows how to change, different offenses, and he does it on the fly. You know what I'm saying? He might run a pick and roll this week. That's what Wisconsin's known for. Then he might go to a damn near triangle offense. Then he might go to a lot of cutting. I mean, Izzo is a genius out here with this. You know what I'm saying? His coaching job, because last year's team is way better than this year's team. You know? And the coaching job that he's doing right now is exceptional. You know what I'm saying? It's exceptional. Because during the season, you heard me say plenty of times in the air that, oh boy, Michigan is out coaching him. Outdoing him, doing everything better than him. And somehow, some way, he made it to the Final Four. That's all I can say with that. Now, this Duke game, this is a team that's just like Oklahoma, Nova, all the other teams, long, can shoot outside, can do everything else. If Michigan State plays that same grittiness, the same pestering type defense, you know what I'm saying? Because you notice they're not shutting teams up, but they're holding them down to a lower point averages that they're doing for the regular season, and they're doing it with just being pestering, causing turnovers, swiping at the ball. Hopefully our two big men don't fall out this week, this game coming up against Duke, because we're going to need them both down the stretch. You know what I'm saying? But like I said last week, I'm going to say it again, I think they have a good chance of winning again. Duke does not scare me. You know what I'm saying? Duke is a hell of a good team. I ain't going to hold you up, but they don't scare me. You know what I'm saying? They have been popped this year. I've seen North Carolina playing real hard. And but the thing is, they have to make sure they finish the games. They got to finish. Michigan State has to make sure they finish. So, with that, because I tell you this, Holiday has been balling, was trading the point guard. He's been out of control. Nobody know him was doing anything. I am proud of him. And it ain't going to end here. I see them, going to the next level. Go ahead, my bro. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Like I said, man, kudos to State. I had them losing this game. I think it was a very winnable game for them. They did what they need to do to win, show a lot of mental toughness. I'm going to tell you what. This Duke game, I see a tough game. I see it coming down to fundamentals, free throws, and playmakers, and, I'm going to keep, I don't want to hate, but, hey, it's been working for him, so, but I think Duke clips the wing, man. I think the backcourt players for Duke are a little bit better. The frontcourt players for Michigan State are a little bit better, or even the Duke. But I think the backcourt gives them a slight edge. Louisville, the way that bracket, I'm not making no excuses. They're playing great basketball. That bracket opened up. They were playing great basketball before the bracket opened up, so I'm not going to take it away from them. But, I'm impressed with what they've done. I'm not shocked in awe, by what they've done. But if they do shoot, I will be duly impressed, he's doing some stuff now. Izzo has a record of 1-8 versus Mike Krzyzewski. He doesn't beat him often. We don't know if that, going off with a situation where, Izzo is now due a victory, or that one victory was just the sun shining on the monkey's ass. I don't know. So.
Let's just start again then.
I'm gonna go with Duke Commission in a very close game, 78-74. I'm gonna go Duke a little bit too much taller. But I'm gonna tell you what. Kudos to Izzo. This is a great team. They're gonna lose a couple guys off this team, but I'm gonna tell you next year's team, if they show 60-70% of the toughness this team shows, they're gonna be okay. They're going to add a five-star big man, Deontay Davis, who's the reigning two-time Mr. Basketball from Michigan. They add another score, four-star shooter. I believe he's – I can't remember exactly where he's from, and I won't quote me on that, but he's a four-star recruit. They also have Aaron Harris, who's sitting out this year, who transferred from West Virginia, West Virginia's leading scorer. So he's a two-guard or a wing player who can really, really shoot it. You put that together with Valentine is going to have another year of experience. He really reminds me a lot of Draymond Green, Aaron Forbes, Thompson, Costello, Schilling, Clark, and Ellis. I mean, they're going to have a team that's ready to contend. I think they play really, really good sound basketball next year. So kudos to those guys. But what about the other game, Kentucky, Wisconsin? Because I'm going to tell you what.
I think Wisconsin's going to pop Kentucky. I've been saying that. Wisconsin's going to pop Kentucky, hands down. Wisconsin's a team. That's why I think Michigan State has a chance of winning this damn thing, because they play Wisconsin tough. Wisconsin is going to pop Kentucky. Notre Dame beat themselves last week, okay? You know what I'm saying? Hey, I'm not going to take nothing away from Kentucky. Kentucky's a good team. Notre Dame beat them damn selves. Wisconsin is long, lanky. They can attack. They attack the boards. They have no fear. They should have beat Kentucky last year. Wisconsin's team right now is a team to be feared. You know what I'm saying? They have everything that you can have. They have outside shooting. They have rebounding. They can run the court. I mean, that's a team right there that everybody gives, you know, praises to Kentucky. But I'm going to tell you like this. This is real talk. You know what I'm saying? Kentucky's in a different league. No, they wouldn't be undefeated. But they're here, and I'm proud of them. They're there. So it's going to be all that much sweeter when Wisconsin pops them. You know what I'm saying? Well, they got exposed last game against Notre Dame. They've been exposed a few times, and nobody could finish. Because I think Wisconsin's that type of team that could finish.
Well, I think Wisconsin can as well. I'm not predicting to win, though. But it's really too close to call. Frank the Tank, Sam Decker are two very, very skilled big men. We're going to cause Kentucky some havoc, because they're going to have those guys play away from the basket a little bit more.
And if my man is killing them down low in the post, they're going to rotate over to that. That's what Notre Dame didn't do. They kept playing one-on-one basketball with that big
guy. I don't know why they didn't double down or make him or dig down super hard, make him give the ball up.
See, that's the problem right
there. To make him use the baseline, go towards the baseline. I don't know what they did, but they didn't do a good job of that. But I think Kentucky is going to provide some issues for Wisconsin, especially those big guys, because they're going to have to play against some big guys with a lot of length and probably with.
But they're evenly matched.
Willie Cauley-Stein, I think, has equal athletic ability to Sam Decker and Kaminsky. I think he can keep up with them foot speed wise. Maybe not Kyle's as much, but Willie Cauley-Stein is a guy who can, you know, recover, quick feet, quick leaper. He can create some problems for those guys when those guys are trying to go to the basket and penetrate. They have a lot of length. Kentucky has a lot of length. Even at the guard position, when you look at the twins, we're talking about guys who are 6'4", 6'5", 6'6". Out there, a lot of length out there at the guard position, and they get bigger as we go forward. So athleticism, length, could be a problem for them. Trayvon Jackson is back. He's not starting, so he's back, and he's going to help Wisconsin out of the point guard position if Kentucky decides to turn up the heat. But definitely a key matchup. I'm going to tell you, man, Kentucky showed me something. They're not going to be – the team that beats them is going to have to truly beat them.
Like a bang them down low. It's going to be an old-fashioned snobber knocker. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to knock your ass the hell out. You know what I'm saying? You're going to try to knock me out. You know what I'm saying? And I think Wisconsin could provide that. That's the problem, though. Notre Dame couldn't give that. They had to struggle to put too much of a body and pressure on big man down low.
I wouldn't get into that type of game with them. I really wouldn't. Wisconsin is going to be effective because their big man can bring them outside of the paint and make them play, be basketball players, not just post defenders. They can bring them out and face them up and put the ball on the floor and go at
right, them. Make them play in space. Right, okay.
So that's a big difference. But at the same time, these guys haven't seen as many trees as they're going to see. They've maybe seen one or two guys up every single day. They're not going to see four or five guys consistently with 100%, you know, energy level out here defending them for 40 minutes. You know what I mean? So I don't know, man.
That's why I say Wisconsin could pop them because they haven't seen what Wisconsin has to offer. Wisconsin is not a slouch team. Wisconsin is a team that I give a lot of kudos to because they built themselves a team that's dominant, that play with you in the paint. Like you said, you can bring them boys out, shoot them up, you know what I'm saying, post up. They have everything. They have an inside-outside game, and they play outside to inside. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be havoc. There's not going to be an easy way to score. And like I said, I guarantee you they won't leave the big boy from Kentucky one-on-one down low to back somebody down the paint. Actually, another thing is Wisconsin has somebody that's big enough to bang with his ass down low so he won't post him up in the paint either, though. See, that's another thing like Notre Dame had trouble with. They didn't have nobody of that size and skill set that can hang with him down low in the post and get him off his game as well. Wisconsin has that. And that's a big plus for them. That's what I'm saying. They have so many integral parts.
We're not going to know until my man is in there backing them down because Notre Dame thought they had somebody. They thought they did. But the guy resists too much. And they stayed in a one-on-one situation.
That's what I said. That's a one-on-one. That's the problem right there. They can't everybody else kill you from the outside. Right. And the thing is, when Notre Dame was winning and they was doing it, they should have did it more because he actually put up like 7 or 8 points to get them back in the game. Once he scored the first one, hey, change that defense up. You know what I'm saying? Get this boy off his square. You know what I'm saying? Make it harder for him. Don't give him nothing easy. Make it, like you said before, somebody's got to beat Kentucky. Okay, make Kentucky beat Wisconsin. Make them have to earn every shot, every position. When I mean every position, I mean he's trying to back you down without the ball or to a spoil on the floor to get to that hole, to the key. Get his ass off that spot. You know what I'm saying? You got to be out like the Pistons used to be back in the day. You know what I'm saying? The bad world or when we had Ben Wallace and them. Make them earn every point, that's why I said it's a snobber knocker type of game. Make them earn it. Make them win it. You know what I'm saying? Now, if you do that, hey, kudos to you. Kentucky, no problem. But I guarantee you, once you put, you know what I'm saying, the problem is people haven't had a chance that had firepower to consistently hit Kentucky in the mouth. That's the problem. You know what I'm saying? You can hit them once or twice, and they stagger back and regain and regroup. But Wisconsin has that depth to keep socking their ass in the mouth, and they're going to fold. I'll tell you. And then you go at that boy on defense as well. You put his ass in foul trouble.
I'm going with Kentucky in that game, man. I'm going to Kentucky Duke final. And
I'm going with Wisconsin and the Michigan State final. You heard it here first. The Big Ten is going to win this in football and in basketball. And that's going to shut the ACC, SEC, Big East, all these power conferences and all these other divisions we're talking about, the hell up. Because the Big Ten did a clean house sweep in championships this year.
So who's going to win the championship?
First. Oh, shit. If it's Wisconsin and Michigan State, you know I'm going to say Michigan State, man. What the hell's wrong with you?
I just thought you had objectivity. I didn't know you
were going to. Hell no, man. You know, I'm a hoe with my squad, dude. You out your damn mind, nigga? Crazy. No, but you know what I'm saying?
No.
Yeah. That's all I'm going to
tell you. I'm gonna go Kentucky, man. Kentucky looks to be a team of destiny. Over Duke. I think Duke can beat them. I think they play from here on out. We can beat them.
So did the Patriots, back in the day. When they was undefeated. Remember that? When the Patriots were undefeated, they had a team of destiny and they got pop.
Yeah. You know, I thought they would have got pockets. I mean, every team can pop them. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if they lose. I'm just saying. I don't see another team out here, you know, as consistent as they are. I mean, Duke can do it. I mean, that's the beauty of this tournament. It's a one-game thing. So Duke can do it.
Mm-hmm.
I think Wisconsin can do it. I don't think Michigan State can do it. You can call me a hater or whatever, but I just don't think they could.
Not at all.
And that's
Michigan State is going to pop Wisconsin in the national championship game.
Yeah, and even in that scenario, I don't know. Wisconsin's playing pretty good right now. That game, to me, might be the national championship game. Possibly. I don't know, but I'm going to tell you, with the game being 2 days later, I will tell you this. With the game scenario being 2 games later, I would definitely give Mike Krzyzewski the edge in coaching and the quick turnaround. 2 days to prepare. That's what I like to do. That's how they got UNLV. You know what I'm saying? So, look at that. Let's talk about, man, the NFL.
Yo, we going.
Man,
we here. We got the NFL, everybody.
The NFL. A couple things that's in the works, man. What do you know, they talked about expanding the playoffs, possibly, man. And then they said they ran into some logistics because they would have to play, I guess, some games on the weekend that the national championship game would go down. What do you feel about? How do you feel about playoff expansion, man?
I was a fan of it a long time ago when who was that? When was the Arizona, Carl? Don't get me slipping. When Arizona was 10-6 and didn't make it, but then you had a 7-whatever team make it. You know, 7-9 team make it, whatever. I was a fan of it then, because they know in hell you go 10-6, and you have a tough ass division. That's everybody's going 11-5 and you know 12-4, and you don't make the playoffs, but some other scrub ass team make the playoffs. You see what I'm saying? I'm a big fan of it. You cut one of them damn preseason games out. You know what I'm saying? If you want to, and then you can go ahead and add an extra playoff. Not an extra game, but just an extra playoff game. You know what I'm saying? That's something you can do. That's something that should have been done a long time ago.
I'm with the expansion if they will look at changing the rules or somehow, some way. Because I think if we just do it, say we just go to expand about 2 teams as it currently is, I think more times than not we're going to see those 8-8, 7-9 teams make it, because those are the teams that we usually see rather than the 10-6 and the 11-5 teams that don't. It would have to be something where we take the best 12 records or something like that, you know what I'm saying, or 14 records, you know, and then, you know.
No, but go ahead.
You're breaking up.
Yeah.
You're breaking up over that side. Hello? Did we lose you?
Buddy.
Okay, we're gonna wait on Elf for a minute until he gets
together. We back. All right. Rex in effect, Jalen. Rex in effect, we back. Like I was saying, though, it's beneficial, especially if you're a Lions fan, because I'm guaranteeing you right now, with all the moves the Lions have not done, have not done this year, they're banking on going 8-8 just for the people to be pacified so the money come off the cap this year and they can do something next year. So, that would be great.
Okay. I don't know, man. I think I'm kind of good where it is. I'm kind of good where it is right now, unless they did some type of total revamping where we're looking at just the best records regardless of conference or whatever. Right now, hey, it's going to be some good teams that are being left out. Hey, so be it. You know, you win your division. If that's your goal, you're going to be okay. You know, so I'm kind of good.
No,
I'm good.
This,
You see, out of two teams, like one in the NFC, one in the AFC, correct?
You said what now?
You're talking about adding two teams. One is from the NFC and another team from the AFC, right, to add two teams to make the playoffs, like to that added to that nature, right? Not just two teams from the NFC and two teams from the AFC. So you're just adding one team from the NFC.
It's a couple different proposals out there. I don't know exactly what they are. Well, yeah.
I mean, because the way I look at it, you can just add.
I don't think it was just one position, because that would kind of throw off numbers.
Well,
the very best team,
would be the only team that get a bye. That's how that would do. You know what I'm saying? If you're the best team in the NFL, or you get one round bye, then the other team will have to play. So it can still stay the same right now. It wouldn't even interfere with college. It still stay the same right now. If you just take, instead of giving two teams a bye, a first-round bye, what you would do is just take the first, this one team that has the best record, that's, let's say you go 14-2, you get a bye. You know what I'm saying? If it's two 14-2 teams or two 12-4 teams, then you go by the point system. You know what I'm saying? And then that's how you get your bye. But, you know, so that's how you do it, though. You just give somebody one bye.
You're going to 14 teams?
Yes.
See, I know you working hard over there, man. But don't even work that hard. If you have 14 teams, just like your terminology, and you give one team a bye, how many teams are left?
Okay, so then you have 13 teams.
How many teams
left?
Okay, 13. How many games can you play with 13 teams?
Okay, I see what you're doing. So then you add, how you want to do it? Do you want to add just a second team then?
I don't know. We're going to let the professionals handle their business. We're not going to speculate. We're going to read up on what they're talking about, and we'll come back with them next week.
Yeah.
We just making it up right now. But with that being said, I would like to. If it is expanded, I think you just have to say regardless of conference. You know what I'm saying? Because it's going to be 7 or 9 teams. You know what I'm saying? Hitting in left and right.
But the 7 or 9 teams, you got to work a point system as well. Remember that, because you're going to have like 2 or 3 7 or 9 teams, and it's going to have to be a point system or strength of schedule. Teams you play, all that has to fall into play now.
Well, pretty much all that is in play right already. That's how to determine draft positions for teams with the same record.
Right.
I don't know what all
the reasons. Now it'd be the same for the playoff position. It's real easy to add and incorporate.
Yeah. But let's talk about the draft, man. These running backs that you love so much and go hard about, man, and say that the Lions gonna take pretty early. How you had these guys, man, stacked up so far after the combine, sir, Mr. Running Back Expert?
Okay. Well, you know me, man. I'm a running back fanatic. I used to play running back, ladies and gentlemen. You know me. Everybody knows that. Running back is the heart and soul of a team. Just give you a little background. You need that team, you know, something that your boy Stafford can rely on, because outside of that, he's garbage without a good running game, just telling the truth. And so there. So now, with me right now, I'm looking at a few things running backs can do.
We just want your top five, man. We don't need to break down the running back. No, just go ahead, man. Go ahead, L.
I mean, well, you know, I'm just saying like it is.
Go ahead.
Yeah, like it is.
We on the time. You got a clock on. You got a clock in front of you, man. Go ahead, man.
Okay, look, like so number one running back. I don't know how he became the number one running back again, but they're looking at Todd Gurley, the running back from Georgia, 6'1", 222, was a 4'4", 40 runner. Now, the problem with that is he's coming off the ACL injury. He's a beast, though. He's a high-risk reward. Now, normally running backs don't go in the first round. They're projecting him to go in the top 10 to 15 picks. Somehow, some way, they got him back up there as somebody that, you know, you might want to take a chance on. After that, you have old boy from Wisconsin that everybody is, like, blobbering over. He broke the record over 400 yards rushing in the game. His name is Melvin Gordon, 6'1", 215, ran a 4.52. He is not a high-risk, high-reward. He's just a reward. You know, he's an inside runner, outside runner. The boy runs downhill. He's beastly. You know what I'm saying? After that, you have Duke Johnson, 5'9", 207, 4'5", 40 runner. They have his projected 2nd or 3rd-round pick. He's the type of running back that, like, people like that like wiggle. You know what I'm saying? That's what they like right there. You know what I'm saying? He's one of those wiggle backs. Me, preferably, I don't like that because when you wiggle, you get blasted. You know, there's no more Barry Sanders out there. Then you have Dula Amir from Nebraska.
When you wiggle, you got blasted.
Yeah, you got to wiggle and get blasted. I mean, my thing is everybody's saying, this is the new NFL now. You know what I'm saying? You want to try to get people to move and everything else. But I'm not feeling, you know, I mean, you can put somebody in space and put a move down, but if it's a true running back, like what the Lions need, you got to put that foot in the ground, get north and south real quick. You ain't got time to be sitting here and playing around wiggle. You know, so even though the Lions don't have the best of line, but if you can run a trap and get them outside, you know, that's what you need. You know what I'm saying? Somebody else that's stuck up in there is Jay, Isaiah from Boise State. People are still feeling him. They got him as a 2nd or 3rd-round pick from Boise. But my boy that I think the Lions should go after, you know what I'm saying, has speed, vision, balance, cutback ability, sprinter ability, hands, can pick up a blitz. Hold on, dude, I ain't finished. That can change gears, start and stop on a dime. Has proven it with the eye test, over 2,000 yards rushing when they didn't have a quarterback. When everybody knew they was going to hand the ball off, and he did it. Tevin Coleman, running back out of Indiana. And he might be there 2nd, 3rd round. Or he might just be, you know, or we might have to trade up and get him early 2nd round. You know what I'm saying? That's somebody that, like I just said, has it all. You know what I'm saying? He has everything you want. That's what he has. You know what I'm saying? He's explosive. You know what I'm saying? You can leave him in on passing downs. You can do everything with him. He's not a one-trick pony. And screens and put his ass out there at receiver. He can run a route. He can run routes. So there you go. That's my bid right there. That's what the Lions should get. That's their building block right there.
All right. Was that what number running back was that? Was that your 5th running back?
That was my 5th running back. That was my number 5. That was him.
Okay.
And the only reason I put him at number 5, I'm hoping that he's there for the Lions to get. Because I know the other couple of running backs might go. As a matter of fact, I'm going to say it like this. Even if the guy from Nebraska is there, I still say get Tevin Coleman from Indiana. Boise State, I don't know much about him because, you know, he played at Boise State. Sorry, I didn't get a chance to watch him. I saw some Miami. I saw the hottest guy from Miami. He's nice. He might be a nice addition. But the one from Indiana is proven commodity. You know what I'm saying? Runs north-south. Gets his pad level down. Sprinter. They compare him to McFadden, you know, as far as his running style. Not his injury prone, but his running style. And, you know, that's nothing but him. Because when McFadden was healthy, McFadden was a beast. You know what I'm saying? And
now,
we all know that.
We're going to give him a disclaimer right now. What, you know, your boy hurt right now. You know what's up with him?
Now, you know what? I don't know. I honestly, I do not know what is he ailing right now.
Gonna be
whatever
how
it is.
Gonna be how you going to be telling somebody, man, for
this
weeks and weeks and weeks?
Because they're keeping their wraps on that shit so tight. They keep it right. Honestly, I think he was hurt before, okay, and he just got help. I think he's actually healthy now, but because he was hurt before, his progression is kind of back. So he's just delaying his pro date until he gets his speed and everything back to order. Honestly, that's what I think is going on. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I think that might be a night that's going on. Now, he might have been honestly hurt before. He might be back to 100% now. And then now all he's doing is just trying to get his 40 time ready. You know, he wants to make sure he at least runs a 4.5 or the Steelers are a 4.48 runner. So if he does anything around that, I'm ecstatic with it.
Okay.
He did 225 bench press 22 times. So the guy has strength. He has the intangibles that you want.
Okay. All right. I have a top 5, man, myself. It's kind of similar to yours. It's I got Gordon
right now is the number one. He's the healthy guy right now. I have him number one. Your boy Gurley, I do have number two. We still have to see kind of where he is. He hasn't had his pro day as of yet. And they're talking about that he won't be able to run or be ready until June or July. So he may be out for a minute. So we gotta, you know, definitely watch him. My number three guy is Tevin Coleman, man. I do like him. He is a guy who can, you know, has a lot of speed and ability. I want to see what he can do in the passing game. I want to see what he can do blocking. Definitely like him a lot. My fourth running back was Duke Johnson from Miami, a guy who carried the load, a little bit light, but definitely has, like you said, that wiggle, decent speed, decent hands. Reminds me a little bit of Clinton Portis, a smaller guy, and the guy who came out last year, about 2 years ago, and played for Cincinnati, Giovanni Bernard. Fifth is Amir Abdullah, a guy who was at Nebraska. A lot of wiggle. Good speed, good vision, showed, you know, some ability to be, you know, kind of a Reggie Bush type guy out of the backfield, catching passes in the game. We also had a little bit of a problem holding on to the football. Good vision, good explosiveness. But again, you know, you look at his size and see if that, you know, that looks kind of, might be an issue. And then you say, you know, him holding on to the football, ball security was the issue. So definitely got to look at that. That guy you brought up at, from Boise State, a big guy, 6'2", 220-something pounds. Man, I like these big backs they have out here. Also, David Johnson from University of Northern Iowa, another big back with some good speed, good vision, quick feet, pitter patters, gets in and gets out. Definitely like him. And then I also like your boy, man, you never mentioned, Jeremy Langford, man, out of Michigan State, very productive, who consistently made plays for Michigan State, showed decent hands, didn't do a lot of receiving out of the backfield, but he looks like he has solid hands, good speed, decent vision, and can run through some tackles, above average toughness for a guy his size. I liked him a lot. The fastest guy at the time behind was the 4.42. So he's got definitely take a look at. Let's get into our mock draft. We are down to 8:43, so we got about 15 minutes to go through these picks. It's very, very early on, but I'm excited about the situation. The first team on the clock is going to be Tampa Bay. I think that might be the easiest position right now. Right now, I think it's pretty much. Maybe not written in stone, but they're getting it ready. Jameis Winston, quarterback, Florida State, man. Who you guys on?
The same. No. They've been spoiling him. I don't think he's left Tampa Bay yet. Has he been out of Tampa Bay, out of Florida? Has he left Florida? I don't think he left Florida, has he? I think
I know he met with the commissioner, so he was out of Florida for that. But that's your guy, Winston, Tennessee. Number two on the clock, man. What are they gonna do? They gonna take a quarterback?
They're going with USC DN Leonardo Williams. I just see that that's the move they're gonna do. You know what I'm saying? Tennessee needs everything. Tennessee is one of those teams that went from sugar to shit real quick. You know what I'm saying? They had everything, and now they need everything. So I got them going with the best on the board. That's the DM for Leonardo Williams from USC.
Yeah, I had them going with him a couple weeks ago, man, but I'm going to switch it up. You need a quarterback, man, in this league. Tim Wisenhunt is a quarterback guy. he you know, he's worked with the likes of Phillip Rivers. He's worked with the likes of Ben Roethlisberger. And you need somebody to win in this league, man. And he's going into his second year there, so they need to get some type of turnaround. I don't know if Mariota is ready to play this year or not, but when you got Zach Mettenberg as your only guy there, I think that, you know, you possibly take a guy who can be a difference maker for you at the position. They've done some things defensively to kind of shore up their defense. They brought back their best pass rusher from last year. They also brought in Brian Arakpo on the outside. That's some solid D tackle. So I think they're going to go Mariota at number two. Number three is your boy Jackson.
You really think so?
Yeah, right now, yeah, I think so, yeah. Need a quarterback, man. Need a quarterback. Who looks good next year? Who knows? Let me go with Mariota. That might buy him some time, so he'll buy him another year. Jacksonville, third on the clock.
Okay, well, Jacksonville third on the clock. I got him outside linebacker, Dante Flower Jr. From Florida.
That's my guy. Yeah, okay. I have him as going in as well. He gives him a guy who can play defensive end as well as outside linebacker. Be a guy who can, you know, play in multiple positions at a multiple front defense. So I definitely like him out there as well. Your team, the Oakland Raiders, baby, what they gonna do?
You already know what they're gonna do. It's between two positions. It's between two guys, same position. You know what I'm saying? Oakland Raiders is a team that's, you know, Al Davis is gone, rest his soul, my man. But his philosophy still is there, and it's not going to change. They're going after Kevin White, West Virginia wide receiver. It's not Kevin White. It's going to be Amari Cooper, wide receiver out of Alabama. They want speed. And hold on. That might be before Brent Perriman, so what was his name? The other Perriman kid from Central Florida, after he ran that 4.22 40, he might be there. Because all they want is speed, and most speed. You know what I'm saying? So that might be something new you might want to look out for. He's just climbed himself up into the first round now. So there.
Who's the guy, man?
I'm going to say Kevin White for now. But you know the Raiders.
Okay. All right, I'm going to go with Amari Cooper, man, at this position. Wide receiver, like you said, he's a more polished route runner. They have a couple guys there, but basically a young group, not with a lot of veterans there. So, you know, I think you go with the best wide receiver who can get open right now against NFL cornerbacks. I like Kevin White as well, but I think this guy, I'm not saying he's better, but for this quarterback who needs some weapons, needs somebody to get out here right now and get open, I'm going to go with Mr. Cooper, because I saw him tear it up consistently for a couple years. So I'm going to go on Cooper there. Washington, fifth on the clock.
Same guy, Clemson, also a linebacker. They're getting linebacker help. You got Vic Beasley from Clemson. But then you got Randy Gregory from Nebraska as well. Also, I want to throw up in the mix the linebacker from what's his name? Was it Washington? I got it written down.
Missouri.
I got the Redskins going linebacker help all across the board. You know what I'm saying? They didn't make any indications whatsoever that they need a quarterback help. I think RG3 will be there. I think he, you know, will be in the mix still. I think they will have will make sure he's okay. So they're going to go on the defensive side. That's where they got. That's where they lost a lot of. That's where they need the most help at. So that's where they're going for right now.
I'm on board, man. I got my man. Your boy, he had the number two pick. Leonard Williams still out here for me. I know they need outside linebackers, but I think there's some guys they can get later on who can help them. When you look at Leonard Williams, he can play defensive end in the four-man front. In the three-man front. Defensive tackle with a four-man front, maybe even some in. He's versatile. He's the best defensive player possibly on the board, and to get him at five would be a good value for them, so I'm going with him at 5 for those boys. Washington Redskins. New York Jets are 6.
It's the Jets. Now, they can go either one way or another, but they're going to go on defense and help again. Like I said, you got Shane Ray, DN out of Missouri. Vic Beasley, outside linebacker from Clemson. I know it goes either way if Clemson, if he slips to him. Or Florida, Dante Flowers. You know what I'm saying? Outside linebacker from Florida. If he falls there as well, I mean, if he's there as well, I think, you know what I'm saying, that it's a pick they might want to take a chance on. All three cats are sniffing around there. So we all know the Jets, they signed back your boy to play the cornerback position. They need some help off the rush edge. They got to solidify shutdown corner. Now they just need some edge help, you know, to help, you know, say get the timing off of that quarterback. So I'm thinking that's where they're going.
So you just going to who you got, man? One guy's already gone off your board, man. Fowler,
Shane Ray from Missouri.
Okay. Thanks so much, dog. I also had him taking Shane Ray from Missouri, man. I have a 6 pick. 7 pick, Chicago.
That's where Amari Cooper's going.
I got Kevin White there. 8th pick.
Atlanta. I got Amari Cooper going there. Atlanta just picked up the guard, right? Didn't he pick up the guard from the 49ers, right? To Tupa. That's where he went, right?
He went to Arizona.
Oh, he went to Arizona. Okay. Well, then, Leo Collins, LSU, or Todd Gurley. If they get, you know what I'm saying, somebody there from there, that's where, you know, Gurley could go right there. But I'll start off by saying Leo Collins because they need some O-line help just to make sure that, you know, so they protect your boy Matt Ryan because they still got two dominant receivers in the NFL. But the Bears just picked up the other running back from the Falcons. I was there, little speed guy. And then your boy, your favorite old-ass player that falls forward, I don't think he's the future or he's the present. And damn sure wasn't the past for the Falcons. You know, he should have retired when he left the Rams. You know, saying Steven Jackson. So I think they need running back help. But I'll start off with a tackle first. They're going to come back with a second round and get him a running back.
Vic Beasley, man, outside linebacker, defensive end from Clemson. They definitely need a lot of help on the defensive side of the ball. They're one of the worst defenses out there. And I think they were last in the league in sacks. So I'm going with Vic Beasley in a revamped multiple front defense that Dan Quinn is going to run there. He can play the Leo position and be kind of the guy that Bruce Irvin is for the Seattle Seahawks. 9. New York Giants. I'm going to go with offensive tackle guard, Brandon Scherff. I know everybody has him going there. He's a guy who can play maybe right tackle or guard, two inside. Giants always invest heavily on the offensive side, offensive line, and that side of the ball. So I got them going with another lineman to help them out.
I got him going with Danny Shelton, nose tackle out of Washington. Washington has three defensive players, you know, say a safety, a linebacker, and a D tackle. And this is where I think he's going to go right here. This nose tackle for Washington, I think he's going to go to the Giants.
All right. And number 10, St. Louis Rams.
That's your squad.
The Rams, I got to take a wide receiver, man. I got to take an Devontae Parker from Louisville. They've taken a couple wide receivers the last couple years. They got the little guy, Austin, a couple years ago. I told him the little guy, he wasn't worth the pick that high. Then they went with Stedman Bailey, another guy who was a little bit bigger than him from West Virginia as well, who's been slightly productive. But, again, they need a big body guy. They re-signed Kenny Britt. Brian Quick showed some promise there, but Devontae Parker is a big guy, 6'5", 220 pounds, has enough speed and route running ability to get open, makes plays at the highest point, plays the ball at the highest point, creates separation, and is a big and is a deep ball threat. So I definitely see them giving some weapons for Nick Foles over there. I know he's on your draft.
Who they got throwing the ball to him?
So possibly you may have, huh?
Who they got throwing the ball? Who's the quarterback over there?
Nick Foles.
Yeah, who's the quarterback for the Rams? You think Foles is going to hold that position down? I said, do you think he's going to hold that position down? You think he's going to?
I don't know.
This is what I'm saying. If the Rams are satisfied with Nick Foles, they're going to need somebody to help him out. So they're going to have to go with Brandon Sharif, the guard from Iowa. You know what I'm saying? The biggest thing with the Rams, all their quarterbacks are getting beat the hell up. You know what I'm saying? They had both quarterbacks got hurt. And one, they got rid of both of them this year, I believe. So they need some offensive line help. The Rams is one of the teams that, you know, is going to need some help at guard and tackle position. So I think they're going there first. They're going to address that position before they get a luxury pick as far as getting a receiver.
Okay. All right. I can see that. It definitely needs some help. We're coming down to the end of the show. It's been real. We got a couple more minutes. Can't wait to get back to you guys next Tuesday. We'll be recapping all the action from the Final Four, including the championship game, which is going to be on Monday. We'll be coming to you with another position.
She'll be holding that banner up, hoisting that banner.
Another positional review next week. We went offense with the running backs position this week. Let's talk about next week the defensive tackles that maybe the Lions may be looking at next week. So we'll look at both defensive tackles and defensive ends. We'll be talking about NBA playoffs, and we'll be talking about opening day. Actually, which will be on the day of our show, actually. So we'll know already the early indication of how those Tigers are going to do to have their first game. And we'll check that out. Any last words, L?
Hell no. Live it up and get drunk on me, everybody.
Oh, yeah. I want to say this. We didn't talk about spring games. Michigan spring game is Saturday, 12 o'clock. You can catch it at BTN. They had a draft, so it will be a full game. So they're going to have the team broken up basically in halves, and we're going to see a little bit of everybody out here. All the quarterbacks are going to play. Malzone, Luton Spate.
You will love that. You're going to love that.
Shane Lee, all that good stuff. We're going to see all the running backs. We're going to get an early glimpse on what, you know, changes Jim Harbaugh has implemented for the Big Blue. So check that out on Saturday again, 12 p.m. BTN Network. I may be working, so I already have it set up on my DVR. And shoot, I think that's about it. You know, guys, remember, if you don't have a passion for anything else, a passion for life, a passion for sports, and I'm trying to see what we're gonna go out. What we got out here, and what we got out here, I put some new old school stuff on here. I'm going to see if I can get it real quick.
Anything about Nas right now? Nas is outcast. These are my Nas and outcast. But the old school people, let these people know how we do in old school. You know what I'm saying? We know we could be two dope boys in Cadillac or whatever, man. Just do it like that, man. That's how we're going to do. Everybody, the Martell, the Remy, the struggles is real.
That boy said the struggles. I like this better.
There we are. Put it up.
Many a day has passed, the night has gone by, but still I find the time to put that bomb off in your eyes. Total chaos for these playoffs, thought we was amps, and we're taking another route to represent the Dungeon family like Grey Day. Me and my nigga decide to take the back way. We stabbing every city, then we headed through that back cave. ATL, Georgia, what do we do? Fall ya, bulldog ass hoes like them Georgetown Hawkins. Boy, you trying to steal it, think my room is sitting pretty, doing donuts while you suckers like some suckers on Ron Titus. Damn, we the committee, gon' burn it down, but us gon' bust you in the mouth with the chorus now.
Iowa station, here's my destination. She got off the bus, the conversation lingered in my head for hours. Took a shower, kinda sour, cause my favorite group ain't coming with it. But I'm with you cause you're probably going through it anyway. But anyhow, went and died, went on out and bought it, cause I thought it would be jamming. But examine all the flaws, get walking, off lit, sand and it's costly. But